Hi, this is John Barber from IDW Publishing. You are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the Pullbag, as well as all things Transformers. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as always, Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
And it is once again time for an Autobotly month. We either have Autobotly April or Autobotly August, and I figured, what the hell, why not do an Autobotly April? And we are here to talk about Transformers, the 2019 The New Universe from IDW, Volume 2, The Change in Your Nature. Now, IDW has changed the way they collect things, apparently. Instead of doing, like, having Galaxies be all one trade, all 12 issues in one trade, or something like that, they're putting everything in the regular volume trades, and I guess it's in story order, I assume it is. And Volume 2, along with Volume 1, I think, I don't remember. We did Volume 1 a while ago. Volume 2 includes Constructicons Rising, Wannabe, The Change in Your Nature, and RC and Greenlight Run. So I find this interesting because we've already covered Constructicons Rising and Wannabe in single issue format. This is why I usually like picking one or the other. So for us here in the trade, we have to go all the way up to page 135 of the trade. Before I do that, though, The Change in Your Nature, written by Brian Ruckley, art by Angel Hernandez, Alex Milne, Anna Malkova, and Beth McGuire Smith, colors by Joanna LaFuente, Josh Perez, and John Paul Beauvais. John Paul, I hope I'm saying your name correctly. If I'm not, I'm sorry. We butcher names all over the place around here. So how are you, sir? Are you ready for Autobotly April?
I think so.
I hope so. Because, yikes. Funny thing about this, because we did the first trade so long ago now, it was episode 386? Yes, 386 of the Pullbag. I actually had to go back to the end of the last volume to remember what... I'm like, Bumblebee with the Decepticon logo, what the hell's going on? Like, when I got to issue 13 here, I'm like, what the hell? I actually literally had to go back in Comixology to look at that, and I'm like, oh, that's right, they're using him as a spy. Interesting. But this is The Change in Your Nature. And man, this thing is packed full of stuff.
Oh, there's a lot of bots.
There's a lot of cons. There's a lot of this. There's a lot of that. No humans, thankfully. At least not yet. Who knows? Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to send your lists in for the top 100 Transformers characters for us here at the GeekCast Radio Network. No humans, or else, you know, somebody will kill me, apparently. You know, ask a question about humans and Transformers. Oh my God, it's the end of the world. Sorry, I forgot. Anyway. But yes, there is a lot to unpack here, and I love it. I think it's great. I'm really enjoying Brian's writing. Now that I remember what's going on within the story, I enjoy his writing. I love how all the characters interact with each other. And not only do we get Bumblebee kicking people and all kinds of stuff, we get characters that I didn't even know we were going to get, like Springer. Interesting. Having him here. Hey, at least he's not, you know, trying to wreck homes and things like that. I did not, and maybe it's me, maybe it's because I'm not that familiar with a lot of versions of Sentinel Prime outside of the movies and animated. I did not know he was those colors.
Oh yeah, they've had him in the video games too.
Okay, well, I don't do video games anymore, sadly.
Well, it was the old War for Cybertron stuff.
Right, right. But yeah, no, I'm digging this. I think it's fun. I think it's really cool them teaming up Springer and Sideswipe. I love that panel when they first, you know, when we have the narration of, we've got patrols out over a quarter of the planet looking for any sign of risers who have gone to ground. And I love this exchange between Sideswipe and Springer. We're close. I'll clear the approach, Sideswipe. What? No, wait. You triple-changing cheat of a flyby rust bot. You saved some for me. I love it. I can hear Michael Bell and Neil Ross in my head right now, and it is so awesome. What are you thinking of issue 13 as we start off the change in your nature?
It's interesting. I'm being that I'm not familiar with like galaxies and some of the stuff prior, it a few things are like left questioning. And I noticed, like, again, they're doing the Ascenticons, which seems to be the precursor to the Decepticons.
Oh, it is. The Ascenticons, the Rise, all of that. It's all Megatron's doing.
Only it looks like he's trying to go a more noble route, and Shockwave and Soundwave are just kind of, whatever.
Yeah, especially Shockwave. Shockwave is always, whatever is logically going to get the job done.
Yeah, he gets his, which I'm thankful.
Yeah, that was a little disturbing.
Yeah.
A little disturbing. No, but I really enjoy it. I love the backgrounds. I love that you have both bots in bot mode and vehicle mode. I love the whole battle ambush we get here in the first part of the change in your nature. And I just think it's really fun. You know, yeah. You have essentially what is a season one bot being teamed up with a season three bot. I mean, technically Springer did debut in the movie, but I wasn't sure what Autobots were going to be. And that's the other thing I want to talk about, is that apparently everybody is Autobots, but nobody's wearing an Autobot symbol.
Well, they're just Cybertronians, basically.
Yeah, at this point, yeah. And then, of course, you know, obviously, Elita and Bumblebee are wearing Ascenticon symbols. I love that Soundwave catches them. Man, the drawing and the colors and the lines on... Look at, like, it's literally the tape deck. Like, there's the panel where he catches them. What are you doing? Obviously, I can't do a Soundwave voice and no vocoder needed. But you look at the lines, like, under his arms and by his torso and by his midsection where the play and pause and all the buttons. Like, wow, really nice detailing. Absolutely love that.
Yeah, it's... I think it's funny how Soundwave is, you know, very ominous... in this episode, or this comic.
Mm-hmm.
Just overall, like, and Bumblebee, I was, when we first opened this issue, I was trying to figure out what Bumblebee's angle was. I'm like, okay, why is he wearing a Decepticon logo?
Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, I had to go back to the previous trade, to actually issue 11 of that trade, because issue 12 was the Nautica adventure. But issue 11, I had to go back to look and see. I'm like, oh, right, he's Optimus's little spy bot kind of thing. I love the team-ups in this. I think this is great. You've got Alita with Bumblebee. You've got Springer and Sideswipe. And you've got Chromia and Ratchet. I think that is so cool.
Seems to work.
Yep, seems to. As we go through the next issue in the Changing Your Nature Part 2, Springer and Chromia. Yeah, that's okay. They can have each other. But we open with, you know, more of the battle, and hey, look, an old man Cup. Wow. All he needs is a cigar in his mouth, and he'll look really cool.
Well, it kind of reminds me of the Generation 2 comics from back in the day, like these aesthetics that they're giving in that particular panel.
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, we get Nautica, we get Prowl, we get all of these really, really awesome character moments. And that's what I love about the IDW Transformers character, IDW Transformers comics, is we get a lot of really cool character moments. And Brian, on the writing, I'm enjoying it so far. There really isn't anything so far that I'm like, that character wouldn't say that or wouldn't do this or wouldn't whatever. Here's the thing. They're creating a whole new universe. Yes, they're still using established characters, but they still have to give those characters personality within.
The only thing I have a gripe with, and I think it's because I like more concise storytelling, is that there's so many characters to follow.
Right.
I don't know who I should be really, like, there's certain plot lines, like you got your A line, your B line, your C line. I don't know per se what the most important part of the plot line is. I mean, other than, yeah, it's Megatron's regime, but when you kind of break it down, you have all these different players going on. And yes, I get it. It's for an overarching, you know, reveal later, but I'm kind of at that weird stage where I'm kind of, I don't know if I need as many characters as are showing up to get the point across. I think because like, and I think this is where I prefer like the storyline of Beast Wars better is, it's concise. You have X amount of characters, and that's it.
Right, I understand that. Yeah,
yeah, but I mean, like for me, I know who about 50% of these characters are, and then the rest of them mean absolutely nothing to me. I don't even recognize them by looking at them.
Yeah, some of them I don't recognize, and you know, I can hear their names and see their names and things like that. But again, it's them either throwing new characters in or characters that they want to build up. But we still have our Soundwave, Chromia, Bumblebee, you got Acid Storm, you got Elita One, you got, you know, obviously you got Megatron, and here pretty soon in these pages of this specific issue of this trade, Starscream shows up, and I love that they're using the Cybertronian jet from War for Cybertron and all of that. I think that's cool. And
the plus side about Starscream is he's like, has anybody thought to ask why Bumblebee's here? He's like, why do you think I fired Soundwave?
Exactly.
He's like, he's an idiot. Starscream's like, I know treachery. That's kind of my thing.
And I think it's interesting seeing the book. I mean, this is not exact. I mean, it is before the war, and obviously we will get to Rise of the Decepticons and things like that in the next trade and whatever. But I like seeing the Transformers work together, because it's not so. I mean, we've seen it before, but briefly. This is something I've said for years now. For me, the only place you can, unless you're making $1 million per episode, the only way in place you can flesh out character and have them grow or have them even not grow is comic books. Like, yes, did the Decepticons and Autobots work together in the G1 cartoon at times? Sure, there were plenty of times where they had to work together. There were plenty of times where, even though Megatron was going to double-cross them at the end, he had to give Optimus a handshake and say, okay, we'll work together for now until it doesn't please me anymore, or doesn't appease me, or doesn't benefit me in any single way. Whereas here, they're not quite, they're Autobots, but they're, we know them as Autobots, but they're not quite Autobots yet. Like you said, they're Cybertronians, and there is the Ascenticons, there are the Decepticons, or there will be the Decepticons, kind of thing. And I really dig how they're doing this and how it's being told. I think it's really fun. Now, I've known about this guy for a while, but he's been on several of our episodes here inside the pull bag. Mikey from Moonbase 2, he had said something to me about how in single issues he felt that the Brian Ruckley stuff didn't read correctly or didn't feel like for him that it was something that could continue. And I don't know, because I'm not reading it in single issue. I'm reading it in trade. And you get the end of this part of this issue before we get into issue 15. It's, the last panel of issue 14 is, why in a race against catastrophe? We are in a race against catastrophe now. One misstep and we fall. And that's Megatron's line. And that's how you end issue 14. Now, for me, if I was collecting this, or if I was getting this single issue from like a comic book shop or something, I'd be like, okay, I'll be here next month for my next Transformers fix. Because what a way to end that. I love the cover for issue 15. Megatron with the Decepticon symbol and Flame War and Nautica and Soundwave and Shockwave. Love that. That is so cool. So we start this one off with the
Autobots.
Yep. And I love how Sentinel is like, it's deception, all of it. Well then, that's where they get the name from.
I mean, he's not wrong in like not getting into like real world politics, but some of the stuff he's hitting on here kind of sounds like the BS that we're handed all the time.
Right.
They promise unlimited this. Mm-hmm. You know, false problems, false solutions.
Yes, and it's kind of like
Megatron scanning the news, and I think it's hilarious how he's like plugged in, getting ready for his battle with Shockwave, and then J-Axis is behind him.
Yeah, the fact that J-Axis is behind him creeps me out, because J-Axis is not somebody anyone should trust.
Well, also he originated from the G2 comics,
right?
And he was a part of the second wave of Cybertronians that were more advanced than the originals.
Right. And this whole scene, so we see Megatron in the chair, and, J-Axis is like, he says, such intense energon flows will not be entirely pleasant, Megatron. Click.
It's funny his eye changes from red to purple.
I think that's awesome. Yeah.
I think it's intentional, but...
Well, I think the thing of it is that they've colored the energon in the vials purple, so it's energon flowing into his brain, into his this, into his that, and I love these monologue panels. Where Megatron goes into his internal monologue, and we get kind of a backstory of things that happened in the past. And I mean, it's just fun. I love seeing this backstory. I love finding out about this. I love the fact that we now are in a world where Megatron has varying origins. And each origin is different, and not every origin is the same thing. This isn't the Megatron from... G1 Megatron from the cartoon.
He was kind of black and white. There really wasn't much to him.
And I get it, because, hello, for almost four... Oh, God, we're...
We're hitting close to 40 years.
We are 3 years away from 40 years of Transformers, folks. But here's the thing. 40 years ago, there wasn't anyone to, like, okay, yes, all the creators did an amazing job. Bob Budiansky, Flint Dilley, Ron Friedman, everybody did the best that they could with what they were given from Hasbro. But now we live in an age where you can create this minor slash gladiator storyline, and I love that. I love that Megatron wasn't always the big bad evil that he becomes. Like, there was a clear choice made. Hey, look, Autobot symbols. Yay, finally. So the next few panels is where we find out that Bumblebee is a spy for Optimus Prime. Or Orion Pax, I should say. I'm gonna get that screwed up all the time, folks. We have for years here inside the pull bag. Sometimes he's Orion, sometimes he's Optimus. It's all Peter Cullen's voice in my head. How are you feeling about the art in this specific part of the trade, this specific issue? How do you like or dislike how Optimus looks, how Megatron looks, all that stuff?
I don't have a problem with it. A lot of this style reminds me of the G2 comics.
Mm.
Very rough in some areas, but very polished, shiny, angular. It very much reminds me of the G2 comics in many ways. But I like the look that Prime has here and or Orion. It's the same stinking Whatever. Body. And Megatron with all of his flashbacks and whatnot. I do like the massive the headbutting of powers with Shockwave and Megatron, and Megatron just laying the smackdown after he calls the his two heavy hitters.
Mm-hmm. Six Shot and who's the other one? Good Lord.
Slipstream.
Slipstream.
And he calls him in and he's like, "You two, stand there.
Don't move."
He's like, "You two, stand there and do not move." Mm-hmm. And then he just grabs a fusion cannon and just whops him.
Yeah.
And then chucks it aside and he gets shot through the stomach and he's just like, "Okay." And then he just snaps it right off. Just tears him limb from mismatched limb. And then he sees the other two come after him and he says, "Do not move." And then just continues the beatdown.
Yeah. As much as I love Shockwave's a creepy, creepy character, but
always has been. But he got worse he got really bad with various iterations of Transformers.
Yeah, you should see what he did in the last IDW universe. I mean, the whole universe is basically Shockwave's fault. But anyway,
he also was the fault of the Dreamwave stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
They were leading up to Unicron coming, and it was his fault.
I love the end of this battle. Megatron's like, "Does anyone else require an explanation of the hierarchy? Works for me. I think it's all clear enough." "Very good. Crisis averted." And he's just wiping essentially what is blood, but his Energon off his face. He's just kind of, I'm like, God, that's going to, if his eyes were still purple, that was going to be my new profile picture. I love it. I think it's awesome. We go back to the Autobots and Sentinel Prime, and Sentinel doesn't want to hear nothing from Orion.
Nope.
Has no interest, just wants to do what he's going to do. And I can't even say anything about this Sentinel, because this Sentinel is not the annoying Sentinel that I know and quote-unquote love from animated. This Sentinel is, like you said, G2, dark, is sadistic, that kind of thing. And I love the variant cover. Oh, of course I love the variant cover for issue 15, because it's by our guy. It's by Josh Burcham, the Shockwave cover with the Decepticon logo in his eye. Oh, love that. I can't decide what Optimus and Megatron are doing on the cover of issue 16. I have no idea. Like, it looks like they're in front of a Vegas slot machine at the top, and at the bottom it's stained glass, but I have no idea what they are doing. Like, they're either talking to each other, or they're trying to play, you know, handsies. I don't get it, but whatever. Issue 16 starts off with the Autobots and Starscream, of all people. And I love Starscream's line here. He says, "What's ridiculous is a psychonaut in the grip of an infatuation. You'd think he'd be professionally immune. I wouldn't worry about it, though. Proxima and Crosscut were similarly gripped in the past. They both bounced off her, just as everyone does." And then, I forget who it is, somebody calls him absurd. He goes, "You're absurd." "Certainly, but aren't we all? Aren't we?" Like, I need Frank Todaro to do that line. Like, me sitting here talking to Frank and just calling Starscream absurd and him replying, "Certainly, but aren't we all?" Oh, God, I could hear that in Frank's voice.
I hear it in Lada's.
Well, yes, obviously, but I mean,
that's like, I hear it in the original versions.
No, absolutely. But like, I think my thing is, I've seen several old, because TF, lovely people up there in Canada, TFCon, Protoman, and all them have uploaded panels from years ago from TFCons of past. And one of them was, it's a panel with Frank Todaro, Jason Marnosha, and John Bailey. And in one of them, Frank, as Starscream, is like,
"Hi.
Hi.
I was curious, like, who gave the idea of Starscream being, like, one of the leaders of Cybertron, just out of plain curiosity?"
"Some weirdo.
What do you mean, idea? He's always one of the leaders of Cybertron. The true leader of the Decepticons. Consequently, Cybertron. Is there something? Do you need a lozenge? I actually have one of them."
"I'm good, thanks."
I don't know. The writers, people smarter than I am. I'm just a monkey who reads the lines, but...
I can't wait. Cannot wait. Gotta send that email. Anyway, so we get Megatron. This is a case of, I don't know who the hell this is. Who is talking to him?
It looks like a, like,
pink version of Cyclonus.
Or it looks like Ironhide with a matrix on his head. Like,
I
am from the Primus Prophets, and I have come to tell you that you...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
"I tell you this because I want no part in these lies and petty treacheries."
Okay, so this is not a... Yeah, this is one of Sentinel's...
cronies.
Cronies, okay. Got it. It's not a... It's an inconsequential bot, because look who comes out of the shadows. Starscream. Huh. Starscream Megatron. And I don't know what it is with the shadows of this exchange, but you look at... when this crony first comes in and he's telling Megatron this news that Soundwave will be arrested, Megatron's face is purple. His whole face is purple, but his helmet is the gray that it's supposed to be. And then as the thing goes along, his face changes. Like where he says, "You can come out now," his face is going back to gray, but his nose is still purple. And then in one panel of him and Starscream, it's all gray again. I don't know what's going on with the colors there. I don't know if that's to show emotion on his face. I have no clue. I just noticed that now, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute. His face is changing color. Probably the way the light's hitting it or whatever. I'm probably reading too much into it.
It's probably the angles. I don't pay much attention to some of the colors. I think it's just because the room is dark and purple, and I think it's meant to show a shadow.
Probably. We get back to the Autobots. No, we stick with the Decepticons, and basically Megatron is given this news, and he's kind of resigned, you know, where he's given the news, and the news is basically, "I think he murdered them. I did not And I do not believe you want the Ascenticons to be a part of any of this, so I thought you should know. I have a look into it. Leave me. Obviously, I can't do Megatron, but... And I love how he's more so talking to himself than anybody else. Very well, Crisis, after all. It just... It's just sad, man. Just that line. Like, you see this Megatron wanting to be not... I mean, he's...
He knows he's on the opposition, but he doesn't necessarily want to be bloodthirsty about it.
Exactly. Exactly. And, hey, look, Astro Train. Yay! Whose ever idea was to do the purple Astro Train and not the black and white one, because obviously the purple one is animation model and character model and all that. I love you. Whoever decided to do that, and... Man, I'm digging Astro Train. I wish he had more to do, but just having him here in his train mode, so cool. And the not Decepticons, the Ascenticons, they're breaking into a place and they're killing people. Oh boy, killing bots, great. Man, some of these kills, what's going on? Oh, boom, like, yikes.
Cannon fodder.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, this is a big old fight right now, and really, really dig. Again, the colors here pop so much. Absolutely love it. Really digging it. Slipstream, plug our box of tricks in, Blackjack, and plug yourself in, Skystalker. And they're doing their thing to... Your turn, City Speaker. I know. I don't know. I'm not sure. Oh, boy. Remind him of his commitment for the cause. Lord. So they are waking up Vigilum. That's not good. That's just not... It's not good. So what are you thinking after this one?
I mean, I like the aspects with Megatron in it and Starscream, but for the other bots that are... The public enemy number one, I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the whole break-in thing was to obviously get the communication with Vigilum. And Vigilum, you know, is a Titan, and they're basically going to wake up a Titan, essentially. I love the Hal Laren alternate cover, which is Optimus, Bumblebee, Chromia. I love that. I think that's super cool. But I really dig Livio's cover for issue 17. It's Megatron in all red with Cybertron in his sights. Oh, I love this cover. See, look, Megatron can be red without having to be a dragon.
But he's so much better.
True. So the Titan Network subsidiary hub is... supposedly inactive, but that's what they're doing there. They're trying to reactivate it, and Astro Train, you're just relegated to being your train. And I love what he says here, where he's where he's commenting on what's going on, where Slipstream is like, come on out, come on, clear it out, we could have half of security down on us soon. I can defeat whichever half of security dares to test us, Slipstream. Maybe true, but unnecessary. They can't undo what we've done, so we disappear and let events run their course. And Astro Train replies, disappointing, and he transforms. Again, I just absolutely love that they're using him in his train mode. That is so cool.
It always freaks me out when I see Cyclonus.
Really?
Because he's not, like, I mean, he's from the Unicron stuff, but they made him a separate character.
Yeah. I love that they've finally made him his own character, that he is his own person. Like, that was one of the shining lights in the previous universe, is that Cyclonus was once a Decepticon, and now he's just kind of like this non-aligned... person, And I think it's great that he's wrestling with his demons. I think I really like how he does this and how they, how Brian's writing him and just getting a look into his character without him having to see him fight. Do I want to see him fight? Sure, absolutely. I want to see him in his jet mode. I want to see him flying by. I want to see him punching Ultra Magnus, whatever. But I love that they're giving him more to do than just be a warrior.
I could see that.
We go to Wheeljack, and what's going on here? Ooh, Wheeljack and Gears. Now, see, I never thought I would see Gears again. Oh, Gears. That bot. Love just seeing all of the stuff like Cosmos and Gears and Wheeljack. Like, this whole part of this issue is like, holy crap, how many classic characters can we put in here to get your eye to catch to each one of them? A lot, apparently. So they're on the winged moon. And what are they doing up here? Trying to take the base over, so I don't know. They're doing acrobatics. Oh, that's what they're doing. They're trying to get the Titan net up. That's what it is. And that's not. It's working, but it's not really working all that well. Yeah, I kind of lost it at the end of this because I'm like, what in the hell? Like, we start with, you know, we start with all of that, and then we go to Dance Break? Really? That was, oh, because it's aboard the Titan Lodestar. Okay, got it. Yeah. I will say I kind of checked out at the end of this issue because I'm like, what in the hell is going on? Like, seriously, like, as I'm just kind of going back through this, I'm like, what the fuck? But this is Vigilum waking up, and it's not a good thing, folks. Not at all. What did you think of all of this space stuff?
I mean, I don't mind the space stuff. I can see that they made an effort to try and do something different. especially them dangling in outer space and varying degrees. But... yeah, I don't know. I'm not into it, per se.
Yeah.
Like, with the space battle and everything else going on. I mean, I have no idea who this robot is that's tied in. And, like, yeah, I recognize Gears and I recognize Wheeljack, but pretty much everybody else, you know, I have no investment in, so I just could care less. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm hoping when we get to volume 3 and we figure out what's going on here, we get some explanation of what's going on next week, that I get back into this. But seriously, halfway through issue 17 here, I lost all interest. I just the whole dance thing took me out of it. And then I'm like, what's going on? Oh, they're waking up Vigilum. They're doing this. They're doing that. Okay, fine. Sure. I still don't know who this bot is or who that bot is. And then we get the final issue of this trade, which is RC and Greenlight. Now, I like how they're doing this. Like, they give us the full arc of what this part of the book is supposed to be, which is the change in your nature. We get the full story arc there. You know, I mean, it's still going to continue. The arc isn't over, but the arc in changing your nature is over. And then we get this kind of like breather at the end, which is the same thing we'd got in the first volume with the Nautica issue. Mm-hmm. And this is a RC and Greenlight story, and I have no idea who Greenlight is, but I liked how this was written. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was fun. I love the brighter colors because they're a little bit brighter in this than they were in Changing Your Nature. And it's basically RC and Greenlight trying to escape together. guess that's the basis of it. I don't know. Yeah, this, wow. This went downhill really fast, folks. Sorry. Seems like we've lost all our steam. Like I said, I enjoyed the story. I like the art. I like the fact that RC has to, you know, kick ass.
Which that I don't have a problem with. I just, yeah.
Yeah, it just, I don't know, that shift at the end of the middle of issue 17 just all of a sudden was like, this is a whole different book, and I don't, like, what am I missing here? I don't know. I do like the transformations, obviously. I like RC's Cybertronian mode. I like Green Light's mode. I love the background colors, obviously explosions, and they do have some dark colors in here, but I love just how, like I said before, the juxtaposition of how dark it was in the end of Changing Your Nature to almost how pastel it is in here, which is kind of a nice contrast between the dark and the light. And yeah, we get the alternate covers at the end. We get the end of this story where RC and Green Light, and I assume that's not Chromia. I don't know who the... No, it's just RC and Green Light. They get to be together, and they're in the thing. Sorry, folks. It, like I said, that's the thing about IDW putting all of these in the trades now. This trade was, I want to say, I know the third trade, which we'll be talking about next week, that was $25 digitally. Wasn't even on sale yet, kind of thing. And yikes. But hey, it's Autobotly April, and we got to give you guys Transformers content for Autobotly April. Overall, Volume 2, like I said, I love that they did do this stuff with putting galaxies in here. I just think it would have been better if it was the main overall story and galaxies would just be... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Apparently, Volume 3 was $18. At least it is now. I just wish that galaxies was just all in one trade. 12 issues, one trade by itself. What would you give Volume 2, 0 to 5?
I would probably give it a 3.5 or... I want to give it a 4, but there's enough that took me out of it that I wasn't just super invested.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a straight 3. I almost want to give it a 2.5. I did enjoy the Change in Your Nature storyline up until the point where it just went all haywire and just took me out of it. I am still enjoying Brian Ruckley's writing. I just wish it was a little bit more concise, maybe a few less character introduction. That was the thing. Like, we were introduced to so many new characters that we don't know. And I'm not saying, oh my god, I'm a G1 fan and Beast Wars doesn't count. But I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is find a way to mix the two. Find a way to put the classic characters in with any new additions you want to make, and then write it to the point where we get, like, again, it's probably just me, but you said you felt disconnected too, but I don't know. Maybe it's just the way the story was. I have no clue. I do know next week when we talk about Volume 3, All Fall Down, we do start with the Rise of the Decepticons arc. We then have Wheeljack Orbital Decay. And then they continue collecting galaxies. They actually finish collecting galaxies in this trade, which is Gauging the Truth and Storm Horizon. So most likely, folks, instead of doing galaxies by itself, like I was going to have us do, the single issues, we're just going to cover it as part of the trade, which it's at the end of the trade for Volume 3. And I do know that Volume 4... Volume 4... it's a lot. It collects 20 through 25 and Transformers Escape 1 through 5, I believe. Let me look at this really quick. Yeah, Transformers Volume 4, Declaration of War, collects Transformers number 25 to 30, and the Valentine's Day Special one-shot, as well as Transformers Escape 1 through 5. That's a lot to read, folks. And like I said, I love that they're finally collecting them, and this is the one that's $25. I love that they're collecting them like this, but at the same time, I know I have the option of reading them individually, but I haven't bought the Transformers Escape series yet, and the prices aren't ready for me yet to do that. Anything you want to bring up, anything you want to talk about before I get the heck out of here with you?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Join us next time, episode 407 of The Pullbag, where we will be talking about Transformers Volume 3, All Fall Down. You can find us on social media. I am at TFGO and Mike. What is your Twitter?
At SCP21.
Make your great escape into comics, and we will catch you next time here inside The Pullbag.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.